Fortitude.
Welcome back to Fortitude, everyone. This episode, obviously, is with someone special, our old young friend of the show, Mayor Maddie Parker. Thank you for joining
Thanks,
us, Maddie.
JW, I appreciate it. Look at your new digs.
I know. We like them here.
You're
I appreciate
upgrading
it.
Yes. A little bit.
We're
I
trying.
Like
we're
it.
Trying.
Good.
Thanks to Jay back in the back scenes doing some stuff.
Looks
but,
awesome.
Since we haven't seen you in a while, but you've been reelected this past May, I believe.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank
Overwhelming
you.
Reelection. Real quickly, what was that a big chore for re-election? Was this, I know you had to spend some time campaigning, but
yeah.
Obviously you were almost not unanimous, but close to it. How was that experience?
Well, it's unique in Fort Worth just because we run every 2 years. That's a part of our city charter. Mm-hmm. So that is unique for large cities. Frankly, usually it's 3 or 4 years. So you're just getting started. And all of a sudden you turn around and wake up. You have to put your name on a ballot again.
Right.
But I tried to use it as an opportunity to just remind people why they voted for me in the first place. Mm-hmm. And the things we were trying to accomplish together alongside council members and city management. So yes, it is another thing on your calendar and you're trying to campaign and do forums, but it paled in comparison to the first time I ran.
Indeed.
So yeah, all good there.
Very good. You have a new job we've learned about.
Yeah.
Cook Children's. Please tell us about that.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm loving getting to know an amazing institution in our community, and I'm working alongside their CEO, Rick Merrill, who you probably mm-hmm. know, a wonderful guy. Cook Children's is over 9,000 employees now, and I've never worked in healthcare, so it's a great opportunity for me to learn something different and work with an outstanding administrative mm-hmm. team there. The mayor of Fort Worth is a part-time position, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Candidly, it is not.
Right.
On a good week, you're working over 50 hours a week,
sure.
right? But it was important to me after serving for 2 years to determine whether or not I thought I could juggle an additional position in the community. Mm-hmm. I'll be 40 in November, and I didn't want to give up my professional track and career. And because this is what it is, it's a $29,000 a year salary.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm serving as mayor, it's really important to me to be able to pass the torch to the next generation mm-hmm. and say, actually, you can do two things at once. And in my case, I also have a family, so they're our priority,
right.
David and I. So we'll see how it goes, but mm-hmm. so far, so good. And to be able to integrate in an institution that is so well-respected and work alongside my role as mayor as well, I think we'll pay dividends, I hope, for the community and for me personally.
I would think so. Yeah. And let's, for real quickly, the stated salary you mentioned, $29,000 a year, that for those who know what you do and know you, that sounds absolutely ridiculous because you work as hard as anybody, maybe more so. Why is the salary stated so low?
Yeah.
You deserve, obviously, much greater salary, but there's a reason, right?
So we have a city charter. In order for that to change, the voters have to approve that. And
Good.
We attempted to change the charter in 2022, and it failed. It was a close margin to increase mm-hmm. the salary for mayor and council. And when we attempted to do that, we tried to tie it to city managers in half. So I think the mayor's proposed salary was around $125,000, $130,000 a year mm-hmm. and a little less for city council members. And candidly, I understand why voters may be uncomfortable with that. They don't understand fully, and it's hard to ask for a pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe strongly, especially as the city is about to crest 1 million people. The last charter change was when we were half this size, and maybe it was a part-time position then, but
right.
it absolutely is not now.
Understood.
And you do limit the number of people that are willing to run for public office mm-hmm. based on the salary that you're providing to people. And
right.
most of the council right now are all juggling two jobs.
Right.
And so if we want our council members and mayor to be full-time focused
mm-hmm.
just on that job, we would have to increase the salary. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
New City Hall is in process. We know, we see it every day downtown.
Yeah.
When is the scheduled opening date?
It's a game changer for us. We hope to move in as a council sometime in the first quarter of this calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe January we'll be in that top floor. It'll go in phases, and then the new chamber probably will not be ready until the very beginning of 2025. They're building an extended chamber outside that'll
okay.
be absolutely beautiful. And I hope the community will start to come to City Hall more often because it will be a beautiful showcase building that they're very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals like yourself may want to rent City Hall for an event
mm-hmm.
that you never would have done that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there on the banks of the Trinity River,
yeah.
taking over the Pier 1 or Chesapeake building. So we're excited about it. The city management has worked incredibly hard to make this decision. And I try to remind people, we've well outgrown our City Hall. We were going to have to build a new one.
Right.
And prior to me becoming mayor, they made a decision that this made sense financially, and it has. It will save taxpayers probably up to $100 million not having to build the new building,
mm-hmm.
and we'll repurpose the current City Hall into probably a central police location.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're encouraging people to come to City Council. Are you sure that's a good, I mean, I'm
yeah.
kind of jokingly, that's, Be careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah, I know. No, it is the people's chamber, and right. We want people to be engaged in local government and come and hear what's happening. Many people have business there, whether it's a zoning case or something they're working on behalf of the city or a contract. But it's important to me that people feel welcome, and it's in a space that is welcoming. I think our current chamber lacks that. Honestly, it feels like a gauntlet. I always joke it feels like a Roman Colosseum. You walk down these stairs and you're looking up at council members. All that will be changed. And I don't know about you, but natural light changes people's behavior.
Sure.
And a little bit of natural light in the chamber, I think, will be helpful. So, yes, we would love people to come and visit us and talk about the issues going on in Fort Worth.
Well, that brings up another issue, the downtown and some of the vacancies going on. I know you're working on that all the time, but you're moving one space to a much grander space. Is the demand coming back for downtown office space? Are there things being done to bring downtown? Downtown has struggled the last couple of years, I think. Are things being done to maybe revive it a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you, we're in an enviable position to other large cities across the country. Our vacancy rate is incredibly low, especially if you look at right now. And Downtown Fort Worth, Inc. really leads those efforts, talking about our office market and residential market downtown. We have over $3 billion of investment and development happening in the downtown business district right now. Everything from Texas A&M, the new convention center district, an extension of the Omni Hotel. You've got the Deco 969 high-end residential tower going up. You've got new businesses kind of circulating restaurant space. So I think we absolutely are trending in the right direction. And I'll remind people, COVID was devastating, especially for large central business districts across the country.
Right.
And we were able to mitigate that compared to other large cities. And I still feel really hopeful that any changes that you may see happening in our own downtown are positive for the most part, moving in the right direction.
Very nice.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we had a football contest, TCU versus SMU. Typically, you and Mayor Johnson from Dallas have a wager of sorts.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that today, if you could share.
Of course. So Eric and I are good friends. And this time he gave me a heads up. He texted me the day before. He's like, we got to do a bet. What are we going to do? So I threw out, just so you know, I threw out, why don't we challenge each other to a cowboy hat one way or the other? And I did that because, frankly, I knew the Horned Frogs were going to win. I was like, I'd love to have a new Dallas cowboy hat I could strut around in. He didn't want that. He said, we'll do a meal. So we did Joe T's versus Mi Cassina, because Mi Cassina founder is in Dallas.
Right.
And, of course, our Horned Frogs won. And so they owe us a meal at City Hall with our city council members from Mi Cassina.
Excellent. Congratulations. Yeah.
Yes.
We always love that, to see the Twitter back and forth between you two.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable. speaking of Eric Johnson, mayor of Dallas, there's some recent press about him leaving the Democrat Party. What do you know about this?
I gave him a hard time because he made the announcement right before I went on at Texas Tribune Fest in Austin, and he'd already left town, so he didn't have to answer questions. I got all the questions about it. I wasn't necessarily surprised. I think first thing I'll say is, as a mayor, 99% of the things you handle are not partisan. To me, it's just common sense policy. And I always try to take the stance that I have a responsibility to work with all sides and all parties and all walks of life and try to build consensus. Otherwise, I just wouldn't get anything done, right? I'm one vote as mayor, and I'm there to be mayor for all residents of the city. And I know Eric has that same mentality. As to why he decided when and how and all the things, I haven't asked him those questions. But I know one issue in particular that he'd been frustrated about is being a pro public safety mayor like myself. And it is, our policies are working. You know, North Texas is the fastest growing region in the country. We will soon pass the metro of Chicago area.
Wow.
And we do that together. You know, our chiefs of police, Chief Garcia and Chief Noakes, work together. As mayors, we work together on policies. And not just the two of us, but also Mayor Ross in Arlington and into Collin County. Because all of the efforts around criminal activity and suppressing that and violent crime and keeping it a beautiful, safe place, you have to do that in conjunction with your other communities in the area. So, you know, you'd have to ask Eric why he did it ultimately, but he's getting kind of all kinds of press about it, some negative, some positive. I'm sure he anticipated that for sure. But up until this, I was the only Republican mayor in the top 20 cities. The next mayor, I'm sorry, Oklahoma City, I think, is 20th. So, Mayor Holt and I were there and there together, and so Mayor Johnson joins us, and it's great for large cities in the country to have a bipartisan focus, especially as we lobby Congress for different issues and work with the White House, work with our own state legislatures, because truthfully, your urban areas continue to be the economic centers for the country.
Right.
And I say that even as a small town kid in appreciation for rural America. But I'm proud to have Eric to work alongside me on some policies that matter to us.
Love to hear that. On a more somber and actually obviously sad note, there was a murder of a TCU kid recently. It came out in the press. I have a connection to him. You have a connection to him as well. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, what was your connection before I say?
Well, the school our kids go to, and he was coaching there. I imagine it's probably one of the same with
same
you,
thing,
but
yeah.
terrible
yeah.
deal.
What an amazing guy Wes
amazing,
was.
Amazing human. Yeah. We're talking about Wes Smith, the guy that was killed over on the
7th
Street area, excuse me. Has anything come from that, Mayor?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my connection, like yours, JW, is that our son Grayson, who is almost 13, is mm-hmm. playing middle school football at All Saints and loves it. And he was a safety and wide receiver, still is. And Wes was safety coach. And if you watched him coach out there, he was an amazing young man. Yeah. And, I honestly learned more about him after he passed away from Grayson. But, you know, he was texting those boys all the time, sending them plays, funny videos to respond to. Mm-hmm. I mean, what 21-year-old kid wants to hang out with a bunch of awkward 12-year-olds?
Right.
But he did. You know, and the boys are doing well. The coaching staff at All Saints has done a great job kind of coming back from that. Mm-hmm. But it was devastating for a community. His family is truly amazing and inspirational. Mm-hmm. And my prayers continue to be with them every day as they grieve. What an amazing young man. Right. And we have responded to West 7th. This is important for me to say. We've responded to West's murder appropriately. Mm-hmm. The way he was killed, the random nature of that homicide, mm-hmm. the location at which he was killed in the West 7th Entertainment District, that is truly one of our most successful entertainment districts in the city. It needs to be safe and clean and well lit, and we have to ensure that we're preventing any violent crime from happening in that area. So we've done a multitude of things. We were already working really hard, and 4th PD should be commended. I mean, just since September of 2022, when they really did a full focus in West 7th, you'll have as many as 25 officers, by the way, on a Saturday night down there patrolling and making sure they're keeping
people
safe.
That's an increase from
From years before, absolutely. Not to mention the off-duty officers that you have. You know, they're apprehending outstanding federal felony warrants. They're picking up over, you know, I think it's now 16 different stolen vehicles that they're picked up down there, firearms as well. Intervening, preventing crime in the first place, but we need to do more. So after Wes's murder, we've done a few things in particular. We're working on a new ambassador program like you have downtown. So those ambassadors will walk around. They're not police officers, but also they're just keep people safe and knowledgeable where they're going. You're also new street lights included. There'll be temporary for now. We'll do permanent in the future, which is really helpful. And a voluntary partnership with our bar owners. They've been excellent here to do more wanding, to make sure we know what kind of firearms are in the district.
Right.
More use of off-duty officers as well. Voluntary program with our code and our fire department to make sure that the capacity numbers we currently have registered are safe, mm-hmm. especially on those high volume nights, maybe after a TCU home game when kids are down there having a good time. All those things are really focused in the right direction to keep West 7th a safe place. And then it'd be important for me to mention, we have new ownership of Crockett Row. Younger partners out of Dallas are excellent owners, and they're working to bring more restaurant and retail into that corridor as well. And then you also have the folks at Goldenrod that are building two world-class developments, over $400 million of investment, one on the Van Zandt there off 7th Street, and also one university. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna have an additional mix of use, which is really important, along with the bar scene. And I think long-term, I know we're on the right direction. And short-term, these things I mentioned will absolutely help mitigate any kind of criminal behavior we wanna mitigate as well.
Glad to hear that. Thank you for sharing. I know a lot of people what's on their mind these days
sure.
in that particular area, but I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah.
Thank you for the efforts there. One of the main topics for today's conversation is City of Fort Worth literacy and the STAR testing specifically. I spent a little time with the Sid Richardson Foundation and Pete Guerin specifically. He's spending a lot of time in this regard. The STAR testing, for those that don't know, handles reading, math, science, social studies from a third grade to eighth grade levels.
Yeah.
The City of Fort Worth, it's public knowledge now. There's been a report coming out that 36% of those kids in 3 through 8th grade are reading at a 36% grade level, which is obviously not good, same as last year's numbers. I know your predecessor had made a play in this regard.
Yeah.
Can you share with us your thoughts and what's going on there? Because obviously we're not getting to where we need to be in the reading, and reading is a big player in education in this city.
Yeah. You know, education outcomes, especially around literacy and comprehension and being grade level, is a citywide problem. Mm-hmm. And the report that the 4th Education Partnership puts out, I think, is incredibly fair. Mm-hmm. And I also appreciate the way they break it down by council district, because it gives ownership to the council members to understand that we have 12 school districts in the City of Fort Worth, and they're all working incredibly hard to educate the future generation of Fort Worthians and your future workforce included in that. And especially coming out of COVID, these are hard problems to tackle. We are not seeing the level of improvement we need to see. And so I asked myself the question, in partnership with organizations like Fort Worth Education Partnership, what does the city of Fort Worth as an entity need to be doing? And we have to stay in our lane to a certain extent, but I think it's understanding, visiting with principals and teachers in schools. I do that often. Council members are doing the same thing now. Also ensuring that we're providing the right level of services in a neighborhood that surrounds a school. You know, are we focused on the right policies around affordable housing and homelessness and food insecurity and all the things that actually contribute to a family struggling and a student struggling as well? Inside the classroom, though, I think this is something that Fort Worth Education Partnership is very focused on, is not just around community awareness, it's on parent awareness. Mm-hmm. Where is your student? And importantly, just because a kid is coming home with an A or a B on a report card, when you look at the academic rigor and the way the testing looks, these students are not prepared for grade level. And the world is a competitive place now. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that our students in Fort Worth, regardless of zip code or income or race, mm-hmm. are meeting the needs of tomorrow, and they're not right now.
I'm glad you brought that point up, because the way that I understand it, and I'm not as knowledgeable on the subject as you clearly, the schools receive funding based on the number of students in the classroom, butts in seats, versus performance in the classroom. Is that a topic for change, or is that a topic that needs to be addressed? Because mm-hmm. giving a kid an A+ and on a test just to keep him coming to school versus giving him an F if he deserves an F, where he'll leave school and not come back, is obviously a tricky situation. Mm-hmm. How do you think about that?
I try to take a more macro look at education today. And part of this is because you can imagine in the seat I'm in as a mayor of a large city, I see how rapidly the world is changing mm-hmm. and how innovation and technology is impacting every single industry. And you're starting to see that same impact on education. We're just really slow to change. Mm-hmm. And in the K-12 system, we have amazing educators and teachers and superintendents that are doing the best they can. They have families that are struggling. They're dealing with different demographics. But the reality is, if you look in that report, you see bright spot schools. You see schools that, despite all of the odds, are outperforming their peers.
Right.
And we need to be asking ourselves, how are they accomplishing that so that we make sure all schools are rising to that level? I do think it starts with leadership. Mm-hmm. I think it really supporting teachers both in pay and resources. When it comes to school finance in Texas, it is incredibly complicated, and it is tied to student enrollment based on per pupil spending. Mm-hmm. Fort Worth ISD, which is our largest district in Fort Worth, over half our students go to Fort Worth ISD. They've seen a decline in enrollment, and you're seeing them grapple with what that means for the future of the district as well.
Right.
Add in there the conversation around educational savings accounts and school choice in the state of Texas, which is an important topic you're gonna hear about just in the next week when they reconvene in special session in the state legislature. Also coupled with how we're impacting property taxes and buying down what's called the M&O, or the maintenance operations side, the state of Texas is gonna put more money into education, so it's less local. It's complicated.
Right.
But what I have worried about, honestly, the most in the last few years, JW, in our, especially if you just take the microcosm of a school board room and a chamber there, we're not talking about literacy. We're talking about all the other things. We're talking about library books and masking. You're talking about vaccines or not. You're talking about how many kids are enrolled, what buildings look like, what the new school bond looks like. Mm-hmm. And those are important things that parents should be engaged in. But I think what Fort Worth Education Partnership is trying to attain, and there's also an organization called Parent Shield, which is really impressive. It's a group of parents rising up, is they want the crisis to be about what the real crisis is.
Right.
And for us in Fort Worth right now, it is the educational attainment and ability of our students. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can all talk about this in a way that is not inflammatory, we're not blaming anybody. No one should point the finger at any district and say, this is your fault. Mm-hmm. No. It is a community-wide issue. And what are the collective impact solutions that we know work? And one more thing I'll say about this, you know, I decided when I became mayor, I wanted to focus on the pathway that I thought I had the most say in, which to me right now is the educational workforce pathway, K-12 to higher education. Asked Tom Harris at Alliance Airport, who was retiring from his role as CEO, to lead that work. It's incredibly effective. We're focused on making sure more students are career, college, and military ready when they're graduating high school. They have a pathway or credential before they graduate high school, so they can go to work, mm-hmm. they can go to higher ed. We're celebrating students that are getting an early college high school degree, which means they're graduating, by the way, they're overachievers. They're getting a 2-year associate's degree from TCC at the same time they graduate high school. And at the same time, though, you're seeing a lot of other solutions across the community, nonprofits, NGOs that are working with school districts. this is a long play. And I don't have a direct, for especially for your viewers and listeners, what does the business community need to do? You know, what do we need to do as a community? One thing I tell people all the time is go visit your school in your area. Even if you don't have school kids there, you know what they're about, know what they're experiencing, because these families and teachers and administrators really need the whole community to care about what that report is telling us.
I appreciate the words you're saying. I mean, it's a very complex problem.
It is. And
it's not just localized. It's across the nation.
It's across the entire nation.
Yeah,
it's absolutely.
Education.
The other thing that's interesting to me is when adults get out of the way, when adults raise expectations, kids can meet them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have wondered often, have we lowered the bar so much that we just don't think our kids can achieve that?
Right.
And we've also sometimes had the mentality of those aren't my kids, those are their kids to deal with. That's a falsehood, because the whole city is really based upon the success of the next generation,
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
So I hope it's a rallying cry, and I really appreciate the approach that Secretary Guerin and his entire team are taking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for spending some time. That was a really important
of
subject
course.
For us. I think we can change the dynamic here. Go have a little fun if we don't.
Okay, perfect.
Don't mind.
Let's do it.
You've been serious now.
Yeah.
Let's have let's entertain each other, I guess. Personal questions for the mayor.
Okay.
Where does the mayor like? Where's her favorite restaurant in Fort Worth?
Ooh, Dave and I really probably your Clay Pigeon is our
Clay
top
Pigeon.
Restaurant.
We're just Marcus
gonna go,
Paisley.
Yeah,
all right.
Marcus is like, and he and Emily are great people. They're doing awesome things. Although I went to Walloon's for lunch today, they're killing it. We've got some amazing chef-owned restaurants in the city right
Very
now.
Very good. If you had a, I know, I have a feeling there's a typical answer, but if we favorite Mexican food place.
Oh, for atmosphere, of course, and experience is probably Joe T's.
That's what I thought you'd
say.
Sad
the original by my house closed. I do like Mi Casino, so when Eric feeds me lunch, I'll enjoy that quite well. Yeah,
excellent.
Some good spots. What's yours? I'm curious.
Joe T's is atmosphere,
yeah.
Of course, but
yeah.
I don't eat a lot of Mexican food, just to be clear, but I would say Joe T's is a hard place not to go. Maria's here in
University. They do a good job.
You want a Philippe's place. Philippe doesn't mess
yep.
around. You know, if John Bonnell got into the Mexican food world, you know, that'd probably be something special.
There you go.
I got to be careful how I say that, because I don't eat a lot of Mexican food, but... non-mayoral activities for you. What are your hobbies? What do you do when you're not mayoring?
Running. Yep, that's a big one for me.
When do you do that? Morning time?
Yeah, really early.
Okay.
Like 4:30.
Oh, good.
Yeah, got a good group of women that have let me run with them. Let's be clear, they are real professional athletes, and I'm just kind of try to keep up. I call it Operation Don't Die every morning at that early. But there's something beautiful about something for yourself before anybody else in the world is awake. And I don't have to have my cell phone with me, so that's important. Being with our kids, we're in the same stage of life that you guys are. I mean, when you're at a sporting event almost every night, and
all right,
but we love that. That's what life's about for sure. And then I grew up in Hyco, and our family ranch is just in between Glen Rose and Hyco, and we've just finished a house and have a place to go, and so it's only an hour away, and it is really nice to get out of town and decompress.
I bet so.
Yeah.
No, any sports for you, like golf, tennis, any of those things?
I'm not a golfer. No, I'm really not. Yoga when I can. Yeah, not really a tennis.
How much are you running when you do these runs, typically?
6 or 7 miles.
Every morning?
Yeah. I ran 20 miles this week.
That's
impressive. I
didn't run
this morning. Yeah, but yeah, it is
good.
Well
done, well done.
For someone that I'm going to be 40, and like I said, in November, and I hadn't been running in a while, so I was back at it.
Very good. Favorite TV show?
Oh, Veep.
Veep, okay.
Have you ever seen Veep?
I have not, but
out,
I'm familiar, though.
I always joke that politics is like Parks and Rec and Veep combined.
Is it really possible that Veep and Mayor Parker's worlds
I
collide?
Hope that I'm nothing like Selena Meyer, but who is the VP in the show.
Right.
Anyway, it's my fave, and David and I both love it.
Favorite adult beverage?
Ooh, probably a glass of really good wine,
okay.
Cabernet.
Good. If you travel, not saying you travel often, but of course vacation
get
happens.
Away, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you oceans or mountain?
Oceans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you?
I love the mountains too. We went to Colorado this summer.
Okay.
But if I had to choose.
Okay. There's a place in town called Dickie's Arena.
You
may have heard of it. It's quite lovely. They
yes.
do a good job. Favorite Dickie's concert.
Oh, I just went. It was Pearl Jam. It was
Pearl Jam. I was there. Would you go Wednesday or Friday?
Friday.
Very nice.
You go Friday or Wednesday?
I went Wednesday. And this
that's better in Fort Worth. It was so
good. It's hard to beat, Maddie. I agree with you. That was fantastic.
Good. Yeah. Although I did see Alabama last year. They were great, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave and I, that's our thing, is hobby. You asked hobbies earlier, is going to call out music concerts.
Yeah, that's cool. Fort Worth, I wouldn't believe, is your favorite city, obviously.
Yeah.
Second favorite city in this country.
Boston.
Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Why Boston?
I think it's just an amazing melting pot. It has a great history. It's beautiful. It's still thriving. It still feels like itself. And I think the people of Boston are really great, too. I've never had a bad experience when I visited there.
Nice. This one comes from my wife because I have seen neither, but Oppenheimer or Barbie?
Oh, I think I liked Oppenheimer better.
Okay.
But that sort of fits my personality. Although Barbie was great, too.
Right.
I saw both. So Margot Robbie deserves all the cred for that movie.
Right. Very good.
All the outfits.
Hardest parenting moment for you?
Ooh. That is a great question, thinking about that. I think maybe for us, it's we have children that are really spread in age. So our oldest is 21, Grayson's 12, and Lainey is 7. And so rather than give you a moment, I would just say those times when their age differences keep you really stretched and there's a lot going on, especially when Shani was in high school, those were really hard times, right? And if she was struggling, but you couldn't really let her struggle filter down into younger boys. So that's probably how I would describe it. And Shani's adopted, and so there were some moments of parenting with her and her biological family that were really hard, but also incredibly important for me just as a mom and a human to learn through. So
one of the important things I always think when I, you know, talk to you or see you, whatever, is that a lot of people don't realize that you are the mayor of a major city, but you're also a human being, to your point, and you're a mom, and you know, and you have these things that we all struggle with on top of being mayor. So it's like you see your teacher for the first time in the grocery store and you realize, oh, the teacher doesn't live at the school.
Yeah.
You actually have a real life on top of your job. It's an amazing thing.
It's unique too. You know, I think, and Betsy and I used to talk about this. She was just at a different stage in life because her kids were grown, but she had grandkids and a full life and everything going on. But I think because of this stage in life that David and I are in, we are in the grocery store. And by the way, I do curbside pickup now, which saves my life every Sunday. So I don't have to go into the grocery store.
Right.
But I think people see me as mom or Maddie or a wife first rather than mayor. And I do think it makes you more relatable.
Sure.
And it's fascinating to me how many people say to me, you're so real. You're so relatable. And I think it's because our politics has gotten so dysfunctional as a country that the talking head or the person on Twitter is what they expect people to be like.
Right.
But the fun part about being mayor is you get to live in the city you're serving.
Right.
I go home every night to my bed and I serve Fort Worth, right? And so that nonsense, I have no interest in that because it's not real. And you get so far removed from why you ran for office in the first place or why it's really to be considered public service.
Right.
So I don't know, it's kind of a funny phenomenon.
Do you see Betsy ever?
I saw her for lunch. I talked to her 2 days ago and stuff. Yeah, she's very active and doing all the things. Yeah.
That woman doesn't slow down.
She does not. We used to call her the Energizer Bunny, and she truly is. Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Craziest complaint you've ever received, maybe from city council or been when somebody gets aggressive, craziest thing you've ever heard about yourself or about your job. Can you share that?
Oh, I've been called all the things, JW. Wicked was one recently that I really liked. I was like, you're wicked. I was like, are we good? Is that good wicked or bad wicked? Which am I? I don't know. People do get confused. Like, we need to return to basic civics in this country. People get real confused about what level of government is what.
Sure.
And honestly, this is kind of funny. When I was running for mayor, I've told this story before. I had a girlfriend call, and she's like, I can't vote for you. I said, I know. You don't live in Fort Worth. You live in a little city just outside the city. Like, just the basics of knowing where you are, who your council members are. I tell students that all the time. Like, just be engaged. You don't have to run for office. Just be this much knowledgeable. But I just don't think we prioritized it the same way. I'm trying to think of other things. I mean, we need a wall of shame or fame of things that people have sent us before. My favorite thing to do is get a really mean DM on a social media post or an email or call, and I personally call them back.
Oh, good.
Or email them or DM them back.
Probably catches them off guard.
9 times out of 10, they're like, oh my God, I didn't think you'd read that. Like, there are normal people on the other end of your hate, right? And the social media factor has absolutely just put a torpedo to how we treat people.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Least favorite council member?
You're so funny.
I'm just kidding. You don't have to. You can answer that. You don't have to.
No, I won't. No, I know. We actually get along really well.
Good. That was a little joke.
We do.
We're winding up this interview, and I appreciate the time very much.
Of course.
A couple more things, but what's something people that the city of Fort Worth could do to be more useful in all the things you're trying to solve? I mean, everybody has a role in this city, clearly.
Yeah.
What could you tell us, people? What could we do better, more?
Number one, vote. Show up.
Right.
Abysmal voter turnout, especially for local elections.
Right.
bond elections, school board bond elections, school board voting, all of it. It matters tremendously. Forget about president. Who is running your city is who affects your day-to-day life.
Surely.
You know, the best tangible example I can give you is in this budget, I'm so proud of us, and we have prioritized the basics and things that really matter to you most as a resident here, like public safety. We're adding over 100 personnel to the police department, about 60 plus officers, 40 plus civilians. Why am I telling you this? We'll be full strength of 4th PD by 2026. You compare us to other large cities in the state of Texas, they are down 600 to 650 officers. JW, you can't come back from that.
Right.
And you cannot operate and run a successful, safe city mm-hmm. if you don't also have the partnership from public safety. And I think if we just want more residents to be engaged, understand, that's one wish I really do have and something I'll work on even after being mayor some days, making right. sure residents are there. And then second, this seems simple, but just love your neighbors. Love your neighborhood. Care about what's going on. You picking up trash in the park? Are you checking on your elderly neighbor? Because the small town feel of Fort Worth is contingent upon the people that are in it and the way our neighborhoods operate and where you choose to live, where I choose to live. And I think that's what separated Fort Worth, truthfully. And right now, I'm not worried about it. I see that still continuing, but I just want people to be reminded of that.
Right. A little more kindness never hurt, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Last question. This is more of a, this is a serious question, but it's something that I've often wondered about, and you've spoken on it years ago, a year or two ago, but the suburb of Fort Worth called White Settlement.
Yeah.
Why in the hell can't we change the name to something more appropriate? It is clearly, those who think it's okay need to get with the program, but it's not an okay name for any place in this world right now. What is going on with White Settlement?
So, good question. So, to be clear, the city of White Settlement, that is the name of their city, and that's a separate municipality, and that is completely in their jurisdiction, and that won't change, no matter what I wanted to do as mayor. And you may remember this 2+ years ago, I threw this out, and I got some outcry of support and some outcry of hate about it, honestly. And the other point of clarification is the name White Settlement is actually doesn't refer to anything, especially there's a lot of assumptions about it. It really referred to our dark history of racism. It really referred to the settlement of white pioneers that were coming into Texas and that settlement.
Right.
Name.
Okay.
It doesn't change the fact that it has a really negative connotation for a majority of the population in Fort Worth. And I just don't think it reflects Fort Worth, honestly. It's like, that's one of our major thoroughfares, especially it's adjacent to the Central City Project.
Yeah.
There's some wonderful things happening in that part of the city. So I just want us to name it something that really reflects who we are as a community. And I'm glad to hear you bring it up because at the time, not many people really were that interested in messing with it. But I do think it's something we need to put back on the agenda and really consider as an entire community, what could the name of that major corridor be for our residents? And I don't have the answer to that. I think the city of Fort Worth residents could really provide that. We did do, it's complicated. We had a little committee of people, like looked at names, but honestly, it was like, none of this really changes the game.
Right.
So if you want to help me take that on, JW, I'll
let's hear some name choices. Maybe we can start there. There's probably people that have ideas.
I think they would for sure. Yeah.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you
for your kindness. We're talking about kindness. Appreciate your candor here.
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us on the show. We appreciate you as a person and thank you for all you do for the city of Fort Worth.
You're more than welcome. Thanks, JW.
Thank you for joining Fortitude. This has been your mayor, Mayor Matty Parker.
Thank you. Fortitude.